I want you to take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and then find verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 5. Stand with me if you would, please. We're going to read together the scripture. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 5. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Proverbs 4, 5. The Bible says this: Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver thee. I'm going to give you one other portion of scripture. In Matthew chapter 13, verse number 13, the Bible says, Because they seeing see not. I'm going to preach a sermon to you this morning. It's called, Through Whose Eyes Do You See? Through Whose Eyes Do You See? Father, bless us now. Lord, I need to quickly get to the truth, but we need it to be done through Thy power and through Thy Spirit. I'm asking, Father, that because You're the Creator, and because You created us, that You help our minds today to be extra strong. Help the young people to be extra quiet. I pray that no one would inappropriately disturb Your church service. I ask, Father, that You'll help us to help people today. Spirit of God, do a supernatural work. Please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat. Let me explain something to you and young people so you understand now. The only one talking is me. And what saddens me is I look out and it's some of our kids who know better who are misbehaving. There are some who might not know, but there are some who do. And so look right this way. In the passage of Scripture that I just read to you, it speaks of the subject of wisdom. And God chose to personify wisdom. In other words, He was explaining wisdom like you would a person. Now let me explain. Wisdom is the ability to see life through the eyes of God. And folks, we need to see life God's way. But remember, the Bible says there were people that had eyes, but they weren't seeing quite right. They had eyes, but they didn't see like they were supposed to. They had eyes and they were seeing, but they were not seeing the way God would have them to see things. I think unsaved people don't see things exactly right. I think weak Christians sometimes do not see things the way they ought to see them. I realize not everybody sees things the same, but there are some things we should see the same because it's the way that God wants it to be. I realize two people can see the same circumstance. One may walk away depressed and the other may walk away encouraged. And it was not the circumstance, but it was the person and how they looked at it. Let me tell you what I mean. There's a story in the Bible of the feeding of 5,000 people in John chapter 6. There are 5,000 people that needed to be fed. And Jesus asked Philip, he said, Philip, how do you see this? How do we get food for these people? And Philip said, he said, well, we don't have any money. Send them away. Let them go home and eat. But Jesus saw that differently. Jesus took 5 small loaves and 2 small fish and he fed a multitude. You see, Philip saw little, but Jesus saw much. And little is much when God is in it. Philip seen that circumstance through Philip's eyes, but Jesus saw that circumstance through spiritual eyes. And folks, everybody here, all day long, you use one or the other set of eyes that you have. You will either see things spiritually or you'll see them from a more carnal or fleshly or a weaker point of view. For instance, there's a story in the Bible in Luke chapter 22. Malchus, the high priest, was about to have Jesus arrested and Jesus would be taken to Calvary and there would be a false trial. When they came to get him, the high priest's servant approached Jesus. Peter drew out his sword and he whacked this guy's ear off. Peter was going to solve the problem. Only one problem with that. Peter saw the cutting of this guy's ear off. He saw it as the right thing to do. And Jesus saw it as the wrong thing to do. So Jesus had to pick up that ear, put it back on, and heal it. Because at that moment, Peter said, the right thing to do is I'll whack this ear off. And Jesus is saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. When people come visit church, don't whack their ear off. And I'd do the same thing. If somebody cut your ear off, I'd heal it back on. But I understand. Did you all know that I could walk on the water? I'll show you. You can't get that just anywhere. But when that ear came off, Peter said, this is how I see it. And Jesus said, I don't see it that way. What had happened? Peter was using Peter's way of seeing things, but Jesus was using God's way of seeing things. There's a story in the Old Testament about a man by the name of Elisha. God's people were in battle with a group called the Syrians. And what actually ends up happening is the Syrians send a whole bunch of people to Elisha's house. Elisha has a servant there, and Elisha's house is surrounded by the enemy. So I want you to picture this preacher and his assistant. They wake up in the morning, and when they go out on the front porch, the enemy is everywhere, everywhere. And the servant, he goes back in and he says to Elisha, he said, did you see that? We are outnumbered. And Elisha said, you didn't see all the chariots of fire and God's army ready to defend us? And that servant said, I didn't see that. And Elisha prayed and said, God, open my servant's eyes. They went back out on the front porch. And though this massive army was surrounding this preacher and his assistant, God opened up the servant's eyes, and the servant looked into the clouds, and there were chariots of fire everywhere to protect them. What was that? That was one that was seeing through their eyesight, but that was another that was seeing through the eyes of God. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. All day long in your life, everywhere you go, you're either going to use the eyes that are yours or the weaker eyes of man, or you can use the eyes of God and see some things that are supernatural. And I got to tell you something. We don't see things for what they are. We see things for what we are. Let me say it again. We do not see things for what they are. We see things for what we are. Well, let me say that again. We do not see things for what they are. We tend to see things for what we are. You see, that's where you and I need wisdom. We need to see life through the eyes of God. We need to see life the way that God sees it. Wisdom about the Bible is seeing the Bible the way that God sees it. Wisdom about a burden in life is that you see that burden the way that God would see it. Let me ask you a question. If it would have been you for the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus came to you and said, what do we do? Would you said, send them home? We just said, let's feed them. When it was time to whack off the ear or not whack off the ear, what would have been your move? And many of you would have whacked off that guy's ear. Because you said, seemed like the thing to do, but that was from your perspective. Let me try to show you. I've got a pair of glasses here. I'm going to let these represent my spiritual glasses. These are my Clark Kent Superman glasses. Jerry Lewis. How many of you know that great Old Testament saint, Jerry Lewis? These are my spiritual. I'm seeing through my spiritual eyes. It was a really rough day at the airport yesterday, and this is all I could come up with for my fleshly eyes. These are from Jurassic Park. These are my carnal eyes. All of you look at things through your spiritual eyes. Or you look at them through a more baser, carnal, worldly way. You make decisions all day long this way. Now, if you're not born again, you spend all your life basically looking like this. I'm not talking about like a monster. I'm talking about you're making decisions that are not spiritual. Saved people, you've got both of these. Too bad most of you wear these all the time. And the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. And when the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, it means that ought to be real high on your list. Life is basically a series of decisions. Those decisions are based on which set of eyes, which approach are you taking? Are you looking at things spiritually, or are you looking at things carnally or in a fleshly way? Let me see if I can show you. Let me see if I can help you. On these fleshly glasses, they're negative, they're non-spiritual, they're critical, they're carnal, they're weak Christians. They're people that are not really interested in thinking about God on Monday, and they're not really interested in thinking about God on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday, and it's their life, they want to live it the way they want to live it. But over here, I'm going to think about God on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I want to live my life God's way.
Right.
And we all go through some of this. Let me show you. Let me show you. Let me pick a couple real quick subjects and show you what I mean. The subject of salvation. Now the Bible says ye must be born again. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to get saved. But this thing of salvation, if I put these glasses on about salvation, I might say, I've got plenty of time to get saved. I don't need to do that today. Hell is just a scare tactic. It's not a real place. I'm a good person. I'll get saved when I'm old, right before I die. Well, I'm a church member. I'm not saved, but I'm a church member. I gave $2 to the March of Dimes. I'm covered for heaven. Listen, if I were you, I'd look at salvation the right way. I understand if I reject Jesus, I die and go to hell, and it would be my fault. Now you're seeing it right. Hell is a real place. God wants me in heaven. That's the right thinking. God loves me. He sent His Son to die for me. God made a plan called salvation, and it's available for me. I just need to admit I'm a sinner and that Jesus is a Savior and ask Him to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and save me. That's thinking right. I'll take care of this another day. I didn't come here to get that. I didn't come here to get it, but that's what I need. We kind of go back and forth in the way we see things. How about church? We use both sets of eyes when it comes to this subject to church. Let's look at this one. My fleshly eyes. Church. It's no more important than any other place. I could have church at home. I could watch TV and that could be my church. Church is just full of hypocrites. There's not enough parking space. Too many people. It's too full. I'm too busy. Maybe you ought to see it God's way. Church was created by God. God planned it, not man. I need to go to church, and you know what? I'll go to the church and I'll live right, and that way I'm not one of the hypocrites. I need to get into a local New Testament church. I need to be in church. I'm not spiritual enough to miss church. I need more of it, not less. Boy, which one, how do you see it? You see, there are people in here that see it both ways. But the issue is, you're to see it God's way. That's the spiritual way. Let me give you another. Let's take the Bible. We gave away, I think, right about 200 King James Bibles to all the young people today, 12th grade and under here in our church. Hey, let me talk to you about this, how we see the Bible. You get that carnal part of the weak part, the fleshly part, and in some cases the lost part. Oh, the Bible, it's just another book. After all, it was written by man. It's full of fairy tales. You can't understand it. It's full of contradictions. It's outdated. Any old version will be fine with me. How could it be a perfect book? But remember, that's this attitude. Or you could see the Bible the way God would see it, the spiritual way. The Bible is God's Word. God's never outdated, and God is the Word of God, so the Bible can't be outdated. God placed His hand and His influence on the Word of God. God gave us understanding of the Bible through His Holy Spirit. The more of it I live, the more of it I'm going to understand. God said we're to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if that be the case, then there has to be an every word Bible. I happen to believe that's the King James Bible. But I got to tell you something. There are people that look at the Bible this way, their way, from their approach, from their logic. And there are people that look at the Bible from God's way, from God's approach, from a spiritual approach. And I got to tell you, your way's wrong, God way's right. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And so many of us go through life, living our life, seeing it our way, using our mind, giving our thoughts, giving our opinion. Folks, I got to tell you something. There is a God in the universe. He wrote a book called the Bible, and He said, you take that book and you think my way. See things my way. Salvation, people look at it differently. But God's way of seeing it is the right way. The church, people look at it differently. But the way to see it is God's way. The Bible, people look at it differently. But wait a minute, the way to see it is God's way. What is that? That's wisdom. Wisdom is seeing things through the eyes of God. Now, some of you, I'll tell you something. When I got saved, I began to see things differently. What was that key? I got God into my life and I began to see things a different way. There are some of you, you could get a right attitude if you would just start looking at it from God's perspective. Let me make another comparison. Your job, your place of employment. This is how some of you see it. You don't really want to work. This job's not good enough for me. I hope my boss realizes the privilege that is his to have me work for him. I want more money, more benefits. I want more time off. I want to labor less. And I want less rules and guidelines at work. My boss is stupid and I am smart. I should be running this place. I'll call in sick because what's the difference, even if I'm not sick? I hope I can sneak around and be lazy and make lots of money for doing it. You all know people that see it that way? Can I give you some advice about your job? Let's take a look at it a little differently. Thank God I have a job. I am so grateful I'm employed. Thank God I'm healthy enough to work. Work is good. How long has it been since you heard someone say that? Young people, work is good. We're not trying to get out of it. We're trying to get into it. Work is good. And for some of you, if somebody didn't think work is good, you wouldn't eat because you don't do any of it. Somebody pays your way. Because somebody was taught work is good. I'm glad I get a paycheck. Wow, I get some vacation pay and some time off. My boss is in charge. I'll not spend my time criticizing him. I want to be the best I can at work. I plan to work hard every day. God gave me a job. I plan to please Him. I will gladly earn a pay raise and work hard to deserve a promotion. Or, I want more, but I want to do less. Some of you are employers. You'd like for me to come and do a little demonstration tomorrow at work for you. This is what we deal with in the world. This is what you deal with all the time. And remember, it's not the circumstance. It's how you see the circumstance. Let's take the subject of preaching for a second. Preacher's too loud. He's just too soft. He needs to be more dignified. He's a little bit wild. He should just love everything. Preacher, you should make me feel good. You know, preacher, you shouldn't be judging and telling me I ought to stop cussing and drinking and cheating and acting like an animal. Don't judge me. He preaches way too long. His sermons aren't long enough. Too hard. I wish he's more tender. He keeps preaching like that, I'll just leave. I look out into the faces of this all the time. How's God see it? Thank God the preacher's not afraid to tell the truth. I need someone that will preach to me the truth. I need to be convicted of my sin. I actually want my pastor to name it, not tiptoe around it. I want him to tell me the difference between right and wrong. I want my pastor to preach the Bible. Whatever he preaches, if it's in the Bible, I need to learn how to live it. I'm willing to bring my friends and possibly watch the preacher get up there and get loud and get aggressive and tell the difference between right and wrong because I see it the way God sees it. That's how it is. I'll throw this one in just because it's fun. Tithing. It's my money. Stupid money-grabbing preacher. I ain't been in church for years, and the day I come, he talks about money. I knew that was going to happen. I'm doing fine without giving money. It's in the Bible. God teaches it. I better just do it. There's so many ways. Oh, let me take, for instance, this sermon. And I'm cutting about 5 points out of it. Because it took Brother Edwards so long to lead the singing this morning. You take a sermon like this. How do you see it? That is one juvenile pastor. It's just a coincidence that I feel guilty of some of what he's saying. Just a coincidence. I can't wait to get out of here. Matter of fact, I'll criticize him as soon as I can to someone to make me look right. Because I sure wouldn't want him to be the right one. I just don't see it that way. Or... well, that was practical, true, and down to earth. And all day long, I'm either making good decisions God's way or decisions my way. All day long, I am either obeying God and seeing it God's way or obeying me or society and doing it my way. I think I'd like to live that. I might even use the altar. Well, I'm not. I'm not about to use the altar. I might seem guilty. I am guilty. This is what goes on in your head when we're coming to this part of the service. I will not be humiliated in any way, shape, or form. I really need to be humiliated because I'm not always right and I'm often wrong. You know, every born-again Christian here, you spend your entire day making decisions. Either thinking God's way or thinking your way. Thinking God's way or thinking the world's way. Thinking God's way with God's wisdom or using the world's wisdom. All day long, you're deciding, will I do what God said and look through spiritual eyes, or am I going to let Hollywood and everybody else tell me how to dress, how to act, how to walk, where to go, what to do, what to believe? Or am I going to let the Bible be my guide? We do that all day long. I'm just here to tell you, choose the right eyes. See it right. And folks, I got to tell you something, and I'm done. I can't tell how many of you do this. You get in your car on Sunday morning, you head for the church, and you say, honey, you see my spiritual glasses? I can't find them. And I got to make sure I get them on before we hit the church property. So you pop them on for church. God bless you. God bless you. Let's sing the songs of Zion, brethren. Oh, it's good to be here. Love Jesus, love God, love you. Final amen. We hit the car. Turn on the radio. And on Monday, Tuesday, and you're a fake. Because you're trying to give everybody the impression that you think spiritual. And the only day you do is Sunday. But God's the God of Monday. And God's the God of Tuesday. And God's the God of Wednesday. And God's the God of Thursday and Friday and Saturday and every day. You're to live right 24/7, Christian. It's time for you to put the old eyes away and get out the new eyes and start seeing it Jesus's way. I know it's a bit of a silly illustration, but it's true. The sermon is called, Through Whose Eyes Do You See? I hope you'll look through the eyes of Jesus. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you ought to get that taken care of. Here's what's going to happen. I don't want you to be confused. The sermon's over. In a second, we're going to bow our heads. We're going to close our eyes. We're going to have a thing called an altar call, which means this. In a moment, the pianist will go to the piano. She'll play a song. We'll stand. And I'll say, if you need to be saved, come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Could I recommend that you see salvation God's way? He wants you to get saved immediately if you're not. The devil wants you to put it off. If you're not saved, I wish you'd get saved. If you are saved, I wish you'd make the decision to start using the right eyes. Start making your decisions based on God's wisdom. It'll change your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The pianist will make their way to the piano, just like I promised. In a moment, that pianist is going to begin to play, and we're going to stand. Here we go. Brother Hollinger, if you would, begin the invitation song. Folks, I want you to stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you're not saved and you need to be born again, you come and you let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again. Altar workers, name takers, you be ready. If you're not born again, you come. We'll show you how to be born again. Hey, then Christian, may I say, how are you seeing things? Through whose eyes do you see? The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. That means it should be shoved to the top of the totem pole of decision making and the top of the totem pole of life. You need to start seeing things God's way. Christian, do you need a moment at the altar? Are you using God's view of things? If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Children's church workers, we make sure you're letting us know. If you don't have decision slips, we have to know what's going on. If you need a decision slip filled out, let us know. Those of you that were in this service, ask yourself this question. How do you see things? Are you seeing things through God's eyes or your eyes? I could give you some marital counseling right now. You need some marital counseling? Is your marriage what it ought to be? Let me tell you what you do. You stop seeing it your way. You stop insisting on having your way. You start seeing it God's way. And you not insist that you get your way or your spouse gets their way, but you insist that we do it God's way. That carnal part of us, very dangerous. If you're lost, you see through those eyes continuously. Saved person, you go back and forth. Oh, let's see things God's way. As the piano continues to play, are you the kind of person you come to church and you're one thing, but you leave the property and you're something totally different? Don't be a fake. Start living for Jesus on Monday also. The reason you can't find your spiritual glasses on Sunday morning is because you don't know where they're at because you've not wore them all week long. But you know it's Sunday's coming. I need to knock it off and at least act Christian for a few hours. That's not the way God intended it to be, Christian. Through whose eyes do you see Christ?